we'll worry about whether or not Griffin's okay later. But we got a podcast to record. I've got things I got to do. This thing just doesn't magically happen, right? So, hey, Nicole, you want to step in for me?
Okay.
I'm excited to share. I am sitting across from Nicole.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Happy to substitute for Griffin.
Yeah, yeah. Just step right over him. It's no big deal. we'll figure out what's going on there. I am very excited to be able to chat with you because you and I, we waste a lot of time, but it's always productive. We love to solve the world's problems. We're very analytical type people. And I have a feeling that our conversation today is going to be pretty intense, but I can't wait to dive into it. So why don't we get started? So talk to me. You are one of two Cincinnati transplants that we have here in this office, right? Not that it's like completely random that we have two Cincinnati transplants. I mean, it's random that we have any Cincinnati transplants. I get paid every time I say Cincinnati, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know. So you end up, I like the story how you end up at Lighthouse because admittedly, I've been trying for a number of years to convince you to join our team. I don't know if you knew that, right? I think you kind of knew that.
I knew that there was discussion of like maybe I'd be good for the role. There was a position you guys had needed to fill. And I was on my path of various jobs. I was never really sure 100% what I wanted to do, what I was interested in. So I dabbled in a few different things from insurance enrollments, being a doula, you know, wide variety.
Well, you had an internship at a home healthcare. So you really have been kind of all over. But if you notice, there is a connection there. And it's always been about helping people.
Yeah, I like the term you've been using as our motto kind of this year, people first. Mm-hmm. Without even knowing it, what I've always kind of gravitated towards, putting people first, being able to help people in some way or another. And you can kind of, like you said, see that in each of the job roles that I've picked throughout my time.
Yeah, for sure. I love how worlds intertwine because I want to back up slightly because I, of course, was introduced to Griffin. And was highly recommended that I would basically be like, hey, this kid's really smart. He's really versatile. He's looking for an internship. You just need to hire him. Mm-hmm. You need to bring him in. He comes in. And so first time I get to meet you is probably at our first Christmas dinner. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. Just a little bit, but yeah.
So what was that like? I'm all over the place, I know, but I'm curious because I never get to ask you these questions.
The relationship between you and I rather than my relationship with the business is interesting because in classic nerd fashion, how you and I really got to know each other was playing Dungeons and Dragons with all of our friends.
Yeah. So oh my gosh, I even forgot about that.
Yeah, come over to our apartment with our, you know, our college buddies and just have a few hours of D&D. That's where we really, I think, got to meet each other and got to know each other.
And I think it's funny you bring that up because I'd never played before and I still am terrible at it. But I remember hearing Griff talk about it. I'm like, Griff, I said, if there's ever a chance that I can like be part of something on there, I said, I've always wanted to try it. I've never played though. So like, if it's a bit too much and you guys, your friends, everybody. And what I love about when we play board games and stuff together, man, I feel like just one of the guys. I know that's probably not entirely politically correct way of saying, but just feel part of your friend group. Mm. Always felt that way. I've always had so much fun with everybody, and I've never felt like, oh, that's old man Almendinger, right?
Yeah, no. It's all about, you know, you choose your friends, and you want to be around people who lift others up, not tear people down.
And yet I still got a second invite back.
Somehow you got to stick around.
I love it. I love it. All right. So we find out how you kind of get interested. You're right. What happens is we had a change in sort of a business management role, because that's what you do for Lighthouse. You're
the business support
and administrative person for us. And you keep the trains running, right? So in case anybody's wondering, you know, how is Lighthouse as effective as they are? That's you.
And I appreciate that. It's been really interesting. So I've been here since mid-2019. So I got to see the whole fun of, you know, the pandemic and how we grew from there and was able to stay stable. But from the start, from that first role that I came in to help fill, just as a part-time employee, and what I've been able to, what I think, mold that role into today, it's really evolved and something I think helps keep the business healthy, internally anyways, at least.
I could not agree more with that statement. It's been very amazing. I think you and I have talked. I think there's certain things that we notice as we continue to grow that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a technical person. And what are technical people not good at? You know, I'm a sociable person, but I'm not exactly about a get in depth and know how you're feeling person. You know, I that's my confession. And we start having this, you start approaching me on this, and I know, I'm like, do it. Like,
yeah. So we were in our meeting yesterday morning, and we discovered the real initiative kickoff started January 2022. That's the oldest record we were able to find during our search yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's cool that we're in 2024 now. And so we've had 2 years of this initiative that we've been calling Ikigai, right?
Yep.
And it all stemmed on back in 2019, 2021, I was going through a lot of personal development, personal growth, you know, finding what jobs I really wanted to have in my life, what I wanted to do, what should my career actually be? You know, you always feel like it's time to get yourself in shape. And so I had this whole philosophy. I'm not going to go too deep onto that side, but I did call it, it was called Dream Girl.
Which I loved.
It's so fun to...
Which I believe I wanted to call it that, but then we thought, because we wanted to translate that into the business.
Right? Yeah, like how do you put that in a professional space that everybody can connect to? Dream Girl, even though it can be funny, not everybody's going to resonate. So Ikigai, which is a Japanese philosophy of taking what you can do, what you enjoy doing, what you can make money for, and putting those together into a purpose and a career. And so that's what we figured. Yeah, Ikigai is a great
this philosophy. Matches. I loved that organization. I love that sort of push. And I said, you know, I think myself and our team, I think we would all benefit from doing this process.
Yeah.
And you're right. We couldn't really seriously call it Dream Girl.
Or BHAG.
Yeah, BHAG, which is one from a group that I was part of. And we sort of stumbled across this Ikigai philosophy that really matched up a lot with what you were being nurtured with, what I thought was really good. It just all lines up.
And it's fun to say.
Amazingly fun to say, isn't it?
Yeah. So since Ikigai started in 2022, we kicked it off focusing on, you know, personal development. And I think we started seeing a lot of just, you know, positive side effects that the team really did pick up on, take to heart in their personal lives for just keeping focusing on your happiness and well-being. And that trickles right down into where we are today.
I think so. I think you're right. And as you mentioned, we're that was 2 years ago. It's still something that's at the core very important. And I would say, you know, if we talk about our Clifton strengths, you know, I'm not a finisher. I'm not a maximizer of sorts. I'm very much the starter, as we've learned. So in that time, we started off, I think I directed a lot of it. And then I realized I'm not the right person for this. And so I kind of said, would you do more and more with this? And now what I love seeing, I love sitting there and I love seeing somebody else talk. I know that's hard to believe because I do like to talk. That's why I have a podcast. That's why we're talking right now, right? But I love watching our team elevate and start becoming a voice, especially when you can so see the DNA of what you want the culture to be and you can see that come out, right?
Yeah.
And so I love that you've taken over this concept of Ikigai. And we've developed it, well, not me. I'm not even, I can't say we. I wish I could. but I've watched as you've really enveloped. You spend your lunches reading about how to help our team get the most out of their well-being. And I think that's incredible. That shows such a personal sacrifice, right? Like, there's a time for you to unwind, but you care so much about this team that you're spending even your free time learning how you can help build them up. And I love that. I mean,
no, I appreciate the acknowledgement and the appreciation of it. But, you know, taking the time to focus on things like this, it's not what everybody enjoys, but I'm realizing, I'm truly understanding that I always thought these were just topics out there that float out there. You can't actually spend time focusing on this. This can't be in your job description. You can't, that's so abstract, but I was wrong. This is something, it's a social science, well-being. It's something that can truly be spent time on, and you should. It's important. The well-being of our team directly impacts the well-being of our customers.
Yeah. Yep. And therefore the viability of us as a business. Like you it doesn't take much to start making the jumps to say, how healthy are we as a business? And you can say, yeah, we, you know, couple million dollars a year. No, you don't have to look at it. You can say, listen, how do we retain those customers? Because we work in an industry that's built solely on trust. And Computers are a fickle thing, right? Like, they don't always behave the way we want them to or react the same. And if our team is in a bad place, boy, our clients notice it. We notice it. We just, you know, the culture knows. And I think this is so timely. I don't know if it's, you know, just sort of like this evolution, or we're just super sensitive to it.
I think it's so many different factors. The world is catching up on the importance of the things that we didn't know how to quantify before. A lot of what I'm learning and bringing into the business here is I'm taking those aspects from Gallup. Mm-hmm. So that company has really taught me a lot, and they work really hard on getting statistical data to scientifically address these things, well-being. Mm-hmm. How do you quantify happiness? Well, you need to collect the data, collect the surveys from all of the individuals, so that way you can create metrics and reference points.
And look at the customer service experience that we have today. There is so much dissatisfaction, I think, internally within companies. Again, we started this initiative 2 years ago. So the question is would we be in the same spot just randomly if we didn't start already? And I'm not sure we would. We'd be on the back foot.
Well, Gallup didn't approach us and say, hey, you should be learning about well-being. This was something that needed to be discovered on our side. No, but you get certifications when you're a technician to do your job. I went to college so I could learn how to do business practices, business management. But nobody tells you that the happiness of your staff and the healthiness of your staff is just as important as, can they use the computer? Can they come to work happy? Can they find joy in their day? Because if not, then they're not going to be happy in the job. They're not going to be engaged. They're not going to be productive.
Yep. And, you know, we have tons of issues that pop up, like issues like tickets, you know, tasks that pop up for us. And I don't think most people realize we are actually, our business structure is chaos, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know. I would reckon 10% of our business is planned, right? The rest is chaos.
Yeah.
We don't know that this is going to break, or that's going to break, or that this person, we have no idea to predict that. So our business is largely based on the chaos that is involved. Like, yeah, we have projects. Yeah, we have it. But most everything is unknown, right? Yeah. So every day our team walks into the unknown. And if you don't have the ability to handle that healthy, and sometimes I'm going to put it on tape here, is sometimes the people on the other end of the phone don't understand that we live this life of chaos. And when you bring additional chaos, like, hey, we're still people, right? Like, if they live the same life, because they're used to this one thing's not working, they have that one element of chaos, and that's when they're going to call and they're going to put in a ticket. Well, that's what we receive all day. It's kind of like, and it's really hard. And you can see when we get busy and down, and you can see that it can take some effect mentally.
And how do you nurture the mental health of our team working on that help desk?
Yeah.
You have to know the individuals. You have to understand how they function and what parts of them need nurturing. Because we have some team members who, you know what? It just rolls off their back. No sweat. Any issues come at them, they understand. They know how to separate themselves from the problem. But me, I know that it affects me personally. And mm-hmm. I know that's how I work. So then I need to know how to separate myself just as that other team member does. And maybe that's by talking it out with somebody. We got to know these different techniques and tools and resources on how to help ourselves mentally through these times, because it's important.
Yeah, I could. That's incredible. Great way to put that. So you've been instructing us, you've been guiding us through, because really what we're trying to do is build employee engagement, team member engagement. And this all starts a lot because of how Ikigai comes about. And then that sort of lines up with the discovery of a program called Clifton Strengths that Gallup does, that if you're a business owner, I personally love how the Clifton Strengths work. It doesn't focus on your weaknesses. Mm. It shows you how to leverage your strengths to overcome those, or to try to match up with people who may match up with your opposites, because you'll end up working as a great team. And so that was really incredible for us. And then you took it a step further and found, you know, because we were noticing, how do we keep the team plugged in?
Mm-hmm. I, within further research with Gallup and communicating with other business professionals, the terminology of employee engagement, that was a philosophy or an idea that I hadn't really resonated with before or kind of understood, but it's a whole field of study now that we didn't have years ago mm-hmm. in the same way that we do now. So in my research with Gallup for employee engagement, of course, I should have known. They have resources for that.
They are a large research companies, but you're right, but it's all valuable.
Yeah, so we've been able to utilize the Gallup Q12 survey within our even small team. I think it's still beneficial no matter the size of team, mm-hmm. large or small, to just kind of gauge anonymously where our team as a whole and business as a whole stands on the employee engagement front, and then how, like, maybe what areas need more nurturing. So the Q12 focused on, there's a hierarchy of needs for successful employee engagement. So we were able to see, are we not giving enough recognition, or does the team have the appropriate resources and knowledge that they need for their day-to-day job? Just little aspects that, if not paid attention to correctly, make a big detriment to a company.
Agreed. And you mentioned, hey, we're not a huge company. We're a 7-person team. And you're right, we learned a lot, right? Because you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing one of two things. We're ignoring it, or we're implying it. Yeah. We either, you know, imply what we think is happening, or we ignore what we think is happening or we see is happening. And neither one are right. And doing this, going through this process where we've gone through the Q12, it's been a tremendous amount of work. I think both of us will agree with that. More on your plate than...
Yeah, it's a lot. You got to distribute, analyze, review, make your takeaways from it. That's a lot.
And I think, I don't know. I mean, I knew there'd be some work that came out of it, but I just, as we're breaking this down, we're learning so much more about our team that, you know, it's incredible to say, listen, we understand where our deficiencies are as a team, as a company, and we didn't even score poorly, but we identified areas that we said, you know what, hey, we're trying to grow again this year, and we think the best way to grow is via this means. Mm-hmm. Well, look at the correlation between the Q12 result that says this, and you know what, That's why this particular number is so low, is because there's not an understanding or a comfort of how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so now we know, hey, if we want to do this sales strategy, we need to address this foundational thing that's a part of our team. And if we can build them up, then we can start explaining how to do this enhanced sales process, yes. Right?
Because of that, I guess our discovery of the results of the Q12, again, they were very positive results because it gives you a baseline of where people are in the rest of the world. So we can compare kind of what that baseline is. So we did get positive results, but room for improvement. So we've kind of taken our step back now and we're like, okay, in order to grow, what are some of these foundational items that need additional love? So we, again, as a small company, we're always wearing different hats. And we kind of realized all those different hats kind of muddied the water a little bit. So right now we're in the midst of honing in what each hat's tasks are, duties, responsibilities.
And helping people understand what hats other people are wearing.
Exactly. Because how are you going to be a successful... Everybody should be a sales team member, right? In theory. Even just passively. So how can you be a sales team member if you don't understand fully the whole business? Not that you have to know exactly how to do somebody's job, but
do you know how to go, hey, I don't know this, but let me put you in touch with so-and-so and then be able to explain to them. But if you don't know what hat they wear.
Yeah. How do you know who to go to? Who to ask the right questions to? What are the right questions?
And I thought, that was the most surprising thing for us, because you're right. For us, you know,
think that such a small company that we all work in the same, we have a larger office, but we work in the same room.
Yep.
We're an open space company.
That's so philosophical. that's on purpose.
Yeah. But
you know, it's got its downside, but I always want everybody to feel equal and level, and we are a team. So we should work together as a team.
And because of that space, you would inherently think, oh, I know what that member across from me is doing.
Yeah.
But that's not always true, is it? Because we get focused on our tasks. We're not always saying, hey, what are you doing right now? And so that's what we're taking a step back on and just refocusing, because we have grown. We have some new members here. You guys met Sarah last time. And so we just want to keep everybody on the same page and seeing how we can grow together.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do want to say, like, you know, I really hope that there's some great conversations, because we do target businesses and, you know, honestly, this is a great conversation, I think, for all businesses to have internally. And it's not something we necessarily thought we knew. You know, I think we started Ikigai, and the results of the Ikigai were because, honestly, 2020 and 2021 really affected our team mentally. I don't think people really realize. It affected a lot of people. I won't Absolutely. Discredit them. I'm selfish. I look at our team. But we had to help our clients transition their businesses basically in the same week, right? Everybody got sent home, and every business had to go through this. But at the core, at the center, was some technological shift.
Oh, yeah.
That our team had to help guide every single customer through, and every user at every single customer. And those were some weird days for sure, that then created a new sort of standard of, we've always had a philosophy of business anywhere. Nobody's bitten on it until 2020, 2021, when they realized, hey, if this were to ever happen again or something, we should be able to do business anywhere. And now all of a sudden, all of those initiatives that we have been pushing, because we've always been a very cloud mindful company.
Yeah.
All of those solutions now sell themselves, right? Like, but we've had those for years. However, we had everybody wanting to do them all at once, right? And usually, you know, like that took a lot.
Yeah.
And so that's what inspired the conversation of 22, is just helping build people up. And
exactly, because you talked like burnout. Burnout was such a huge topic. And I think that's what I was more focused on before I discovered philosophy of employee engagement, was had just recovery from burnout. Because with such a small team, you only have a few people you know, working on help desk or certain projects and tasks, and how do we keep our small team healthy? Because if a man's down, that's a pretty big hit for us.
At one point in time, we had 3 to 4 people on help desk, right? If one, even just one person has COVID and they were out for 2 weeks, what do we do?
Yeah.
You know, it was tough, like making all of our client visits and all of our appointments. And, you know, we pride ourselves on leveraging automation, but you can't automate a on-site visit, right? Yep. So it was interesting. And that's, I think, what kind of led us into this. But I'm excited with everything that you've been working on bringing to the team. We're unstoppable.
I think these are the kind of topics that it's like trickle effect. You hear it a little here, a little there, and then you're right. Eventually it starts to click. It all comes together. You're like, oh, I remember hearing that topic from this video that we watched. Oh, now you're relating it to well-being at work. Okay, I'm starting to see how I can find, you know, happiness in my personal life directly impacts my work life. It's just everything's connected.
I'm excited to see. We'll figure out how things kind of play through and go from there.
Well, this is something that we have huge initiatives on it right now internally, but I don't think we'll ever stop our Ikigai initiative. There'll always be room for focusing on how the team is doing.
Agreed.
And improving.
Agreed. And there'll always be people in different stages. I think you'll be able to repeat some things in the future. We've been doing this for 2 years. The foundational items, sometimes people are in different stages of life. They'll receive things differently.
Yeah.
You introduced us, is it Albert Brooks?
Arthur Brooks.
Arthur Brooks. Yeah. Albert Brooks is the guy who's a writer on, I think he's on Simpsons. I think he's a writer. So Arthur Brooks, I don't always trigger his name, but the moment you make that connection to, you know, his guide to
how to maintain satisfaction that's not just temporary but long lasting, longer term. And his four pillars are something that can make you take a step back, look at the bigger picture, whether that's faith, spirituality, something along those lines. Family is one. Friends, and he says real friends, not deal friends. And then his last pillar is meaningful work. And funny enough, those align very well into the Gallup 5 pillars of well-being at work as well.
There's a lot of overlap.
Yeah, it's almost crazy. I actually found Arthur Brooks on the podcast for the Clifton Strengths. And so that took me on the deep dive of his. Arthur Brooks is he calls himself a social scientist, the scientist of happiness. So I find his work fascinating because you're right, it lines right up with Gallup's. Mm-hmm. And so the 5 pillars of Gallup for well-being and thriving: career, which like Arthur Brooks, meaningful work. Mm-hmm. Social, which I think of the friends pillar from Arthur Brooks. Physical, community, and financial. So those are the 5 from Gallup. And you can kind of see how Arthur's there lines up so well.
Which I do think indicates that there's some real progress made on this particular science.
Yeah, because when you hear Arthur Brooks, you're like, oh yeah, just some guy coming up with, you know, life advice, sure, whatever. But no, there is scientific research now that backs it up. How do you quantify happiness? Well, you have to use data and statistics. And that's what I think I'm most excited for, that I didn't really realize how much data there was on these kind of abstract topics.
And how much chemical drive there is within your own brain, right?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's heard cortisol, the stress level. Mm-hmm. And that's something that they've studied, is the stress levels of people throughout the day by collecting saliva samples to measure their cortisol levels in it throughout the day.
You imagine that job? Open wide. Well, I'm excited genuinely at how this proceeds. Like you said, we have an internal motto that I'm not afraid to say, which is our people first. We're really trying to revamp how we approach people, not just internally, but externally well. It's been a core of who we are as a company. And I think helping our team learn how to talk to each other and work with each other, I think that just overflows into how to work with we call them internal and external customers mm-hmm. through our onboarding process with a team member. You know, you have customers internally that you are providing a service to your coworkers. You're helping them accomplish their job. We really need to work for each other, but we also have our customers externally. And I think this people first mentality really ties everything in.
I agree. I do love that. That was our kind of motto for this year, and honestly has been in a way, but this year we've specifically people first. Those two words are what we've written down. And it's interesting how work life, personal life, customer interactions, it's related. You know, those five pillars that we just mentioned from Gallup, career is what they say is the foundational one. Because we all know you can't separate your work and personal life fully. Emotions you take home with you. You don't change just as soon as you walk out the door. You're the same person.
Yeah. So being in most cases, there might be a medical reason why you're not, but you're probably if you're more than one person, you're probably five or six.
There's not a telephone booth I can just swap my outfit in real fast. So.
Whew. What a great chat. I really appreciate you taking some time. I know I've got you super busy doing all kinds of stuff I don't want to. And that's how we know that the glue gets held together is because I'm not doing those things. That's why those trains run on time. So I appreciate you joining us. Any final thoughts before?
No, thanks for having me. I'll take any opportunity to talk about personal development and growth and employee personal development and growth. I love that stuff and I'm excited to bring it in to business practices.
You're available for birthday parties and business meetings.
I'll be handing out my card.
That's right. No, I think that would be, if you are, definitely, you know, reach out to us and give us a phone call. Ask for Nicole, and I bet she'd love to talk a little bit of shop with you if it's something that you're interested in.
Absolutely.
We're not a Gallup partner, but we do seem to be really falling in with a lot of what they've got.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the teachings that I'm learning from them.
In the meantime, we already mentioned the Hub. You can check it out. You can see how the Hub exists today with all of our resources, blogs, notes, solutions you can get access to, even training for products, you know, systems like Excel. Maybe you're curious how to do something in Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Sitting all right there, you go to hub.lighthousesol.com. While you're there, you can also listen to any of our previous podcasts. You can see show notes, find out a little bit more about Nicole, and maybe re-listen to this episode or anything from the back catalog. With that, appreciate everybody, and we'll catch you next time on the Lighthouse IT Solutions Podcast.